The sports talk doesn't stop on Friday.
What? You give me one good reason.
It's Saturday.
And these guys have a lot to say.
Let me talk to you.
This is Force Company.
Yadda, yadda, yadda.
Brought to you by LPL Financial Nashville and Patrick Conger, financial planning for tomorrow so that you can enjoy today with Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, and Connor Newt.
Yeah.
On 102.5 and 106.3. Game Nashville app.
Welcome to football season, Nashville. We are 2 hours away from officially kicking off the new college football year, and Force Company is going to lead you all the way up to the start of Florida State, Georgia Tech. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Force Company brought to you by LPL Financial and Patrick Conger. Glad to have you with us on this Saturday morning. Should be a fun weekend. Again, we've got a full slate of college football, at least in terms of we've got it going from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. tonight when Delaware State and Hawaii kick off.
The real game.
And then we've got preseason football tomorrow as the Titans wrap up their preseason before the regular season starts in a couple of weeks. Fun weekend. Excited for the show. We got a lot to get to. But first off, how are you guys doing on this Saturday? And do we have any headlines as we start off today's show?
I have a headline first off. We have our Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week, brought to you by LPL Financial, Patrick Conger. This Athlete of the Week is Nick Owens Jr. from Green Hill High School. Green Hill High School won last night in football 41-7, so hey, big shout out to them. He's a running back, wide receiver, punt returner, and also a kick returner, so he's got a
Swiss Army knife.
Man of many trades there. Named captain of the 2024 season, 4.1 GPA, congrats to that. Let's see. Nick also wants to focus on sports medicine after high school, something that I have a weak stomach for. But hey, he also said he would like to eventually go into sports training or orthopedics of some regard. Was all region in 2023, scored touchdowns last year in multiple ways, also rushed, caught passes, and so forth. He had over 1,200 yards total offense and threw 3 touchdown passes. So as a running back, wide receiver, the guy's playing Wildcat, throwing 3 touchdown passes.
It's an athlete.
That's an athlete.
Always recruit athletes.
You got that right. Yeah, you have to, especially in college football.
That's what I'm talking about.
Off the field, Nick coaches at Green Hill Youth Football League, and he volunteers to coach in Green Hill Flag Football in the spring, that is. Nick helps out with car rides to doors every day. Car rides, I guess, to school and whatnot, Friday mornings during the season, and Wilson County Elementary Schools. Also participates in Read Across America for elementary students. So, hey, also encouraging that as well. So, Nick, congrats on being the Middle Tennessee Athlete of the Week. Congrats to Green Hill High School for getting their 41-7 win. And, football's back. Now we can enjoy a nice, enjoyable fall, I guess, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the best time of the year.
It is.
It is. We got week 0 this week, week 1 next week, and then NFL season starts the week after. We've got football all the way to February.
Yeah, then we have
plays
football
tonight.
Every day from Thursday to Monday.
Just know this. Every Saturday is filled with a football until about, what, January? End of January?
Yeah.
July?
What, are you doing multi-screen?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm including XFL, by the way, when I said July. So just putting that out there.
We're talking about real football.
Yes, you're right. You're right. Hey, guess who plays tonight, by the way?
Delaware State.
My ponies.
SMU. Yeah.
That's going to be a fun one. SMU Nevada. And then the one game we haven't mentioned, Montana State and New Mexico.
Oh, yeah.
A thriller. I believe that's at 3.
Yes.
So you've got football from noon to midnight. It's going to be great.
Speaking of New Mexico, I don't know if you guys know this, but Bronco Mendenhall actually ate at a Waffle House one time in Murfreesboro.
Did he?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know why he was there. I assume recruiting, but he did, so.
Because it's the city of the people.
And Waffle House is a fine establishment.
It is a fine establishment.
I'm not a fan of Bronco Mendenhall. He is the only Virginia head coach to beat Virginia Tech in the last 20 years.
Is that so?
Yep. 2019 is the only time Tech has lost to Virginia. He was the head coach there before he resigned unexpectedly a few years later. So.
Okay.
Is he at New Mexico now? Is that where he ended up?
Go Lobos, baby.
Because he was at BYU, then went to Virginia, and then stepped away from coaching for a few years.
Yeah, an auspicious exit from Virginia, if I remember correctly.
Yes, and Tony Elliott has not exactly done a great job there since arriving.
Who's going to be the first coach to cry on the sideline this year? Last year was Butch Jones.
Mike Norvell.
I was going to say Billy Napier, but I mean,
Billy Napier.
It's not
that
bad.
That might be a good one. Or Sam Pittman.
Ooh, Pittman as well.
Pittman.
Maybe Shane Beamer. You never know.
Yeah. Lots of SEC.
What about Ryan Day?
Could see it.
Yeah.
Could well, he's an emotional guy.
He's proud to be from Ohio.
Oh, you're right.
Where's Lou Holtz?
Lou somewhere watching on his
asleep.
But yeah, the rest of my headline is the Blackstone. I'm going to put that in there as well. Grilled on it this morning and made some breakfast along with it. Shout out to my uncle for helping put that together along with my brother. So, yeah, that's going to be
Frazier
the highlight.
Frazier-trition.
Yes. Frazier-trition.
What'd you make on the Blackstone?
Let's see. Spicy breakfast sausage, bacon, sunny side up eggs, and just rolled it up into a
sunny
tortilla.
Side up, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And you fried in bacon grease, which makes it even better.
I can smell it.
Well done.
Does my shirt smell that bad?
No.
We can knock out nutrition while we're on the subject of food.
Nutrition.
We really got to get some imaging on
that. Yeah.
Chase, if you're listening, I know you're on vacation. I hammered the Smart Start again today. Have I told you about the Smart Start?
I don't think so.
It's the Kellogg's cereal. It's like cornflakes and oat together. It's like, it's hard to explain, but it's good protein value. Cut up some bananas in it, and there you go. Nutritional value.
Big fan. We've got, I did not have, this is my breakfast right here if you're watching on the stream. I have the golden caramel coffee.
It's unbelievable.
I didn't eat anything before I left. I'll have something when I get home. Any headlines for us today, Connor?
I'm going to go to University of Louisiana Monroe for Jake Wallman, former offensive coordinator at ULM. They just named the greatest quarterback of all time as their starter, General Booty.
Really?
Yeah.
Weren't he at Oklahoma or something previously?
Yeah, transferred out of Oklahoma. Wow. Now he's the starter in probably the worst FBS team in the country.
Oh, man. That's great.
Hey, I mean, me and Frazier went through the all-name team with D-Mace last week.
There add this to the all-name team.
Yep, General Booty, DeColdis to Eva DeWitt Crawford.
Oh, yeah, LSU legend.
Rowdy Beers.
Oh, yeah.
Squirrel White,
that's a great one.
Dick Butkus.
Yes. Storm Duck.
Storm, yeah.
That was Storm Duck.
Auburn had a cornerback, Smoke Monday.
Yep.
What'd you say last week? Chop Robinson on there?
Yeah, Chop Robinson is on there.
He's been great for the Dolphins so far.
Unbelievable, these parents.
Man. I know. I still, DeColdis to Eva DeWitt, that's...
Some of these names on college football get me, though.
Yeah.
I had one. He was an athlete. He was a quarterback. I moved him to running back and came in 89 overall. But that's besides the point. His name was Kelly Durant.
Mm.
Not Kevin. Kelly.
I had you guys know Ben DiNucci.
Oh, yeah.
The former JMU quarterback. I had it was probably pronounced Jesus, but I called him Jesus DiNucci was one of my recruits
one
in
of the
college.
Long lost disciples.
I had to send him to the portal after a couple years. He was only like a 71 overall as a sophomore.
Over that roster limit.
We did our best.
Sorry, Jesus.
He chose Barabbas over Jesus.
Yeah. Traitor. What'd you get out of it? Some silver?
I got my roster down to 85. That's all that matters in the world of being a high school or a college football coach. My headline this week, and Nick Frazier and I talked about this a little bit. The flag football quarterback Darryl Doucette.
What is this? I haven't heard about this.
You haven't heard this? So No. He is a U.S. national team quarterback for flag football, and they're adding flag football to the Olympics in 2028. And he came out on an interview and said that he thinks he is better than Patrick Mahomes because of his IQ of the game. And then there was a highlight that came out of just one of the worst throwing motions I've ever seen. You know
darts
the
only.
Have you seen the clip? It's from like an old like CW show where the dude's like practicing and he's like
All-American or whatever?
Yeah, like it's the worst throwing motion ever. That's what it looked like. But then somebody made like a mixtape of all of his highlights. Dude's kind of nasty.
Someone tell Colorado's social media team, darts only.
darts only, yes. Darryl Doucette, he was dropping dimes out there. And these flag football guys, I get what they're saying when it comes to like NFL guys wouldn't be as good. Some of the moves that they do that is purely to avoid getting their flag pulled are... Those are things that you wouldn't learn playing tackle football.
I'm going to have to study some film. We got intramural flag coming up.
I played intramural flag, not very well, I did play intramural flag in college. We usually played all the fraternities and just mercy rule every single time.
Just drop it 70.
Oh, we lost like 52-7 every single week, but it was fun. It was fun.
That's all that matters.
When we scored the touchdown, the one, it was usually
storm the field,
fun.
Baby. Just get out there.
It's walk-off winner. We're done.
Yep. Actually, we said next score wins, right? So
that makes sense.
Jake Wallman, round us out here on Headlines this morning.
Thank you, Jake Lyman. So I stumbled across an interesting article from Ross Dellinger earlier this week, and it was referring to Colorado's NIL pursuit, which is nothing normal when you read off the headline. But what is abnormal is who it was through. A former coach for Colorado, his name is Trevor Riley. He was their special teams coordinator. Went to Saudi Arabia to in pursuit for the NIL fund for Colorado through Saudi Arabia's PIF. And PIF stands for Public Investment Fund for the Name, Image, and Likeness Funding on behalf of CU Football. A copy of what Riley says, and this is from Ross Dellinger's article, says his trip was on his own. You know, he was doing it on behalf of Colorado, but Colorado wasn't supporting his trip. My gripe with this is that, you know, Saudi Arabia backs LIV Golf. Saudi Arabia has they are in a bunch of ownerships for soccer teams in the Middle East or Europe and stuff. For all things holy, I wish Saudi Arabia would keep their hands out of college football. And this is not political. This is just keeping, you know, the game is already so diluted and it's become a lot more of a business than it was. And, you know, there are a lot of things that people can find wrong with college football today. The one thing that I don't want people to find wrong with college football is that Saudi Arabia has involvement in college football. That's my two cents. We can, if there's time, we can discuss it later, but this just, it reeks of this is going to go bad for college football if they pursue this down the road.
Yeah, and, you know, there's been so much made about LIV Golf. That's kind of been the big Saudi-backed venture for them, and obviously the soccer teams like throwing out Ronaldo and Mbappe and giving them like $350 million offers or whatever it is, maybe even more than that. I don't know if that's going to grow into anything else. Maybe that's a Connor Stallions type thing where Colorado says we had nothing to do with that. Like, that dude can pay his penalty and, you know, we'll move on.
Hence the reason why they didn't fund his trip, basically.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, speaking of college football, Nick Frazier, it is your week to give us our question of the day.
Yes, I just thought about this earlier this week and ran it by you guys, and I think it's a solid one. You know, you have a favorite team in college football, but what is your B team, your second favorite team you cheer for when your team is not playing on a Saturday, on a bye week, or they're not in contention for a college football playoff? What is that second team?
This usually breaks the Newt law of sports.
Yes, it does.
You only get one team. But if you cheer for another team when they're not playing your team, that's okay.
Okay.
If you have good reason.
This falls under that umbrella, Newt. So I feel like this is like an exception. So, again, what is your favorite team, your second favorite team in college football when your team's not playing, essentially? So.
Yeah, what's the team you root for if your starts 1-6 or something like that? Like, yeah. If your season is over in late October.
And don't say, like, Alabama or Ohio State. We want the fun ones.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So let us know, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. We will give our answers at the top of our second hour. And, again, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We do have a texter on our text line, Joel says, gentlemen, how about the Yaroslav Askarov trade as a headline?
Oh, we'll get there.
Well, guess what, Joel? That's coming up next here on Forest Company. We'll get into some Preds talk about the big trade that went down yesterday. That's up next. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman, Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Forest Company, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are leading up to the start of college football season. Florida State and Georgia Tech kicking off from Dublin, Ireland, 11 a.m. We got College Game Day on in the studio. It feels like football season, guys. Had a full high school slate last night. We have the Game Blitz with Jake Wallman and Parker Kelly earlier today. You can tune in every Saturday at 7 a.m. for that. We will get to a lot of college football coming up in hour number two. But we have some news to get to, guys. Yesterday afternoon, Barry Trotz using the Friday afternoon news dump to get a big trade done. One that we had been kind of waiting on to see if it was going to happen. Goalie Yaroslav Askarov, number one prospect for the Predators, was traded to the San Jose Sharks along with Nolan Burke and a third round draft pick, and Nashville getting David Edstrom, a first round draft pick, and goalie Magnus Crona back. Basically, as Max Herz put it, basically got the exact same haul that the Sharks got for Tomas Hertl from the Vegas Golden Knights. So what do you guys think of the trade initially, and some of the comments that we heard from Barry Trotz on Jared Stillman's show yesterday?
I think overall, you kind of had to do something with this because both parties, obviously the Preds ended up becoming disgruntled with Askarov, and Askarov was obviously disgruntled because it wasn't really a future for him here. And so when you get a guy like that with a good talent and send him off to San Jose and you get a first-round pick in return, you can't go wrong with that. You know what I mean? So. And obviously the pick that the Preds gave away was a Colorado third-round pick, so it wasn't really theirs. So that's a good way to look at it. Barry Trotz made a good point yesterday of, like, you can't look at Yaroslav Askarov as the upcoming superstar when he's not on your team. You have to continue looking forward and making sure nobody's bigger than the team itself. And so I really struck home with me about what Barry Trotz said yesterday on Jared's show. But I would like to hear a little bit more from y'all.
I texted you guys yesterday when this went down. I was like, we knew it was evident this was going to happen at some point as soon as pen was put to paper with UC Saros. What I don't understand is there was a portion of the fan base that was saying, well, if Askarov can beat out Wedgwood in camp, he could become the backup. And to Robbie Stanley's credit, I absolutely agree with what he said. He's like, you don't pay Scott Wedgwood $2 million a year to not play, go to Milwaukee. So this was going to happen. This was clear. The way Askarov handled the situation was not how I would have handled it. You don't pout and sit on the sideline when you don't get the call up. I still don't believe he's ready for the NHL. I'm sure San Jose will plug him in as the backup goalie right off the bat just because they don't have that depth, but I don't believe he's ready. And like I said earlier, UC Saros puts pen to paper. That's your future at goalie. That's the next 10 years for you at least. Well, eight. It's an eight-year deal. But that's a large portion of this franchise's future is flowing through UC Saros now. So Askarov traded doesn't surprise me.
I felt like it was going to happen at some point, but you're right. I'm not thrilled with the way Askarov handled it. Even Barry said that the trade request going public hurt their leverage in those trade talks, and maybe they could have gotten more out of it. I still think they got a solid haul back. And
a first-round pick is nice.
Yes. And you
three
have
in
three
the next,
now next
in the
year.
Next year. Yeah.
I think there are conditions on that pick, so the Sharks can swap it with theirs if Vegas's is better, but odds are Vegas's isn't going to be better. So we'll see how that works out. But having three first-round picks, your own, probably Vegas and Tampa Bay, that allows you not only maybe you use all three picks, but maybe you use those picks to move up in the draft and go get
bait. That's trade bait.
Exactly. And as we know, the last couple of drafts, Barry wants to get into the top five. Like, he's tried to the last two drafts. Now he has the ammunition to go do it, and we'll see if that ends up happening next year. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Adam in Portland is on our phone lines right now wanting to talk about the trade. Adam, happy Saturday. Good morning. And what you got for us?
Hey, man. Good morning. So it's weird, man. Like, before the trade happened, I was to the point where I was like, that was a bad pick. Like, we need assets working right now. The fact that I think he fleeced him, man. Like, you got a disgruntled player. Like, everything was against the Predators at that point. We could have just held on to him and had a ticked off player playing in Milwaukee. But the fact that he was able to get a first round pick and a first round prospect was insane to me. Like, I think he's making David Poile look really bad, dude. Like, Barry, everything, because we have assets and we have players. We had the exact opposite before Barry was here. We had aging players. We've given up every single asset through the years, like Ryan Hartman, all these different players that we had acquired that didn't work out. And Duchesne, like, I mean, I don't know, man. You tourists, you can just keep on naming these players. And now it's like everything, every bit of positivity around the Predators. And my thing is, like, if that player was here and he was ticked off, he's the only negative part about the Predators this offseason. So it was like, you know, a square peg in a round hole, man. I'm so happy that this trade happened. I just can't believe we got as much as we did.
Yeah, thank you for the call, Adam. That's a really good point that Barry Trotz, not only has he built up the current roster with the free agent additions that he's made and everything he's done at the NHL level, but this team now has lots of picks and lots of prospects. It feels like, yes, the Preds have a window the next couple of years to go try and win a Stanley Cup, but it won't be too much of a retool slash rebuild once Stamkos and Forsberg and Yossi and all those guys end up aging out.
Yeah, and I think that retrotsification everybody brands it as. I would say to Adam's point about making David Poile look bad, no, I don't think that's the case at all. I think David Poile basically put a stepping stone for Barry Trotz to be in this position. I wouldn't say it's, you know, David Poile was running the organization to the ground. No, I think he was setting it up for something even better. And sure enough, you have a guy like Barry Trotz who knows this organization well, like the back of his hand, and he's turned it into something even better. So we're just going to have to see what the play on the ice is. But as for the trade itself, along to Adam's point, yeah, they kind of did fleece in a little roundabout way. When you get a first-round pick in return along with the first-round prospect, now the first-round prospect, we'll have to see how Edstrom plays out. But, yeah, this could be a really good trade in the long run for the Preds.
Given the circumstances especially, like Adam said, you have a disgruntled player. What's he going to do, sit and pout on the sidelines in Milwaukee? I mean, he made it clear he was probably going to hold out in Milwaukee and not show up to camp. So I think Barry Trotz did a great job moving off of him relatively quickly, because that news came out, what, last week?
Week and a half ago.
Week and a half ago?
Yeah, maybe even not that long ago, because I know Willie and Adam were talking about it like Monday or Tuesday.
That's right.
Yeah.
All my days run together. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, so, I mean, great job by the Preds. By the way, happy birthday, Andrew Burnett.
Oh, is it?
It is Coach Bruno's birthday.
Wow.
We love you. Thank you.
Birthday, Bruno.
Happy birthday.
I can't believe we're within a month of Preds preseason.
I can't wait.
That's crazy.
Oh, we're in the time. October is the best month of sports, and I will take that to the grave.
We're in the thick of it. Football's back.
Football.
Hockey's back.
Hockey.
Everything.
Basketball gets going.
But let me just say this one thing about the trade again. Another aspect of it. That Jokela kid I've been talking about, that Finnish goaltender, like a fourth-round pick from a few years back, I just keep an eye on him. I'm not a hockey savant. My gut, you know how my gut talks to me, guys. Anytime Nick Frazier's gut talks to him, it's either he's hungry.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's probably food.
Either he's hungry or something is about to happen. I have a good feeling about the kid. I really do.
There are a lot of promising players that the Preds have coming through the pipeline right now, and not all of them are going to pan out, but you have to Zach LaRue.
Oh, yeah.
Possibly going to make the team this year. Tanner Molendijk really impressed in juniors last year and should be in Milwaukee at the very least. So I'm excited to see. Again, it's nice for the Preds that you don't feel like you're this team that's going completely all in and has no future once these guys are gone. Because, yeah, you have the talent to compete right now, but there's so many guys that are going to continue to grow and can help behind those top line guys.
Yeah, and yes, they're not going all in, but at the same time, they are going all in, if that makes sense. You know what I'm trying to say?
It's a balanced setup.
It's a strong balance setup, like a strong mentality. But at the same time, like Jake was saying, you have those youth prospects.
Yeah, you do. I mean,
and what I say when we started the show, like at the very beginning of the inception of Force Company, Milwaukee has a solid core of young talent. Hold on to them like they're your baby and make sure that they are okay and they're groomed to be playing in the pros. Sure enough.
And keep getting more.
And
clearly
more.
You are.
Yeah.
With your first round picks.
How about that?
James on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, does say that we haven't talked about the goalie Magnus Crona. He said, look at his accolades. Very impressive. Not terrible numbers on a bad team. So it is nice that maybe you got a lottery ticket goalie back in exchange for Askarov. Like, you got the first round forward prospect, you got a first round pick, and you got another goalie who could maybe he's not going to be Yaroslav Askarov, maybe he's not going to be UC Soros, but maybe a guy that you can develop and grow into a future backup, or who knows what he could
turn into.
And
guess what? You got three first round picks. If there's a nice goalie prospect out there in the first round and you want him, you got all the assets to move up and get him.
That is true. That is true. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. We might get back to Preds a little bit later in the show as well, but we're going to move on quickly because I believe we're only going to have a couple minutes to talk Titans, and the Titans wrap up their preseason tomorrow in New Orleans. So we'll talk a little bit about what's coming down the pike for the Titans with cut day coming up on Tuesday and a chance for some guys to play for their jobs. That's coming up next. Four's Company, Saturday mornings, 1025, 1063, The Game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. Pre-game at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. Coverage is also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Jake Lyman, Nick Frazier, Connor Newt, Jake Wallman with you. Four's Company. Again, Saturday morning, week zero of the college football season. Just talked a little bit about the Yaroslav Askarov trade, Preds getting rid of their top goalie prospect after he requested a trade earlier this week. Got a pretty good haul back, but let's transition here. The Titans are preparing for their final preseason game tomorrow in New Orleans, taking on the Saints, and then cut day, Tuesday. Have to get down to 53. Who are you looking for to have a big weekend, guys? I know there's, as Brian Callahan said, he said 4 to 6 spots still available up for grabs. Who do you think has to have a big week to make their way onto this roster?
Jalen Harrell, 100%. Jalen Harrell, I'm looking at, as far as wide receivers, I tend to think that group is filled, but if there was another spot open, Mason Kinsey needs to have a big week or a day. Kyaris Jackson. Yeah, I mean, there's a few. I have a handful of guys.
But sadly, some of those, I don't know if any of those wide receivers fighting for the possible seventh spot are going to play. Like, yeah. that's the issue.
Then it's over.
Because Phillips, with the hamstring, I would assume is 100% out. Mason Kinsey broke his pinky. Is that what happened?
Broke his pinky.
Okay, maybe like a little fracture or
maybe.
Something like that.
I don't know.
And then Kyaris Jackson, concussion?
Oh, I did not know this.
Maybe I'm messing. Wiley has a concussion.
Wiley does.
Kyaris Jackson has something, though. I know he's not 100% healthy, so it would stink for those guys if they, you know, if there is a seventh wide receiver spot that Brian Callahan's considering. If none of those guys play, it's kind of hard to make that lasting impression heading into cut day.
Yeah. Something that stuck out to me during the week, I think the midday show was talking about it, and how there could be the possibility of manipulating roster spots with injury spots, like Jake just mentioned about Mason Kinsey's broken pinky.
Like a Vegas Golden Knights kind of thing?
I put that into air quotes because, you know, Mason Kinsey's had a really good preseason, and a lot of people are probably thinking, man, is this the year Mason Kinsey finally makes the roster? Well, what if he goes on as an IR spot and you eventually elevate him to some regard? But that's kind of my thought on that part. The other position I'm really focusing on is tight end position. David Martin Robinson.
Yes.
Apparently, yes. I've been watching this guy. Like, 2 catches for 30 yards in the first game, and the third game was like 38 yards. Like, he, every time the ball has come to him, he has done everything he could to make it a positive play. So, I mean, David Martin Robinson is somebody that's going to be on the watch list for sure. If there isn't a roster spot for him, I will be kind of upset because the tight ends right now have been a little lackluster, minus him.
Jared loves him.
David Martin Robinson.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
TD has said that he thinks he is a lock to make the roster no matter what happens tomorrow.
I hope so.
I think so, too.
He said that he thinks that tight end, they're keeping 4. So Chig, wow. Wiley, Vinette, and DMR.
Vinette is interesting.
He said are all on. Like, he said, no, don't even worry about it. I think the bigger offensive position, maybe running back, like Haskins versus Chestnut.
I'd keep Chestnut.
Whether you keep both, maybe.
Personally,
the position that I think is going to be the strangest, not only for cut day, but for who actually plays, is linebacker.
Hmm.
Like, Kenneth Murray clearly is, he's the green dot, he's the number one. But Jack Gibbons, Otis Reese, Chance Campbell, James Williams, like
Jalen Harrell.
Well, Harrell's more like outside linebacker.
Yeah.
At inside linebacker, those four, like, there's not a whole lot of separation between those guys.
And honestly, that's a good thing because that shows that you have somewhat quality depth at that position.
Yeah.
And or it's all mediocre, but I doubt that it's all mediocre. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can look at it two ways. It's all mediocre, like you actually have solid depth and good linebackers. I'm going to take the positive route. But, yeah, you could – maybe Chance Campbell has a solid opportunity this time to actually, you know, be a starter.
I would love to have –
that's my guy. Just I'm pulling for Chance.
Put him next to Kenneth Murray. Just do it.
Well, I mean, Kenneth Murray, you said number one. Cedric Gray's making the roster because he's a rookie. Granted, he's been hurt, but he's making the roster. So, yeah, it's a tight battle between Chance Campbell. I think Jack Gibbons makes the roster.
Yeah, Gibby makes it. I think Otis Reese may be the guy on the bubble.
Really?
Just because I don't think you're going to cut James Williams because you like the potential that he's shown. Like, is he going to play too much of a factor for you this year? Maybe not on defense, but he seems to be a decent special teamer. Otis Reese just seems like he might be the odd man out if Cedric Gray doesn't go on IR.
He's so fast, though. I love Otis Reese.
Like, I do, too.
Yes. I'm going to go back to the tight ends real quick. You mentioned something about TD saying the Titans are going to try to keep four tight ends.
Yeah.
I probably don't have the same, I guess, idea that TD has here, but I would not keep four.
I wouldn't either.
I don't think keeping four tight ends really solves any problems for the Titans. It just takes up more roster spots. And I think if you're the Titans and the way this defense is structured with Denard Wilson, you're going to have to, you know, have a little bit more rotation on that defense, especially if you're going to have guys guns a-blazing out there blitzing from left and right, from what he's known for, that is, you know.
Yeah, it is. When you look at the offensive side, like let's say they keep three quarterbacks, they keep four tight ends, they keep four running backs. Even if they keep six wide receivers, you're going to need probably nine offensive linemen. Like, that's using a lot of your spots on the offensive side, which it wanes down. Can you keep a sixth cornerback? Can you keep a fifth or sixth inside linebacker defensive lineman? Like, it makes it a little tougher if you are going to keep Malik Willis and four tight ends. Like, it squeezes you just a little bit.
Like, don't get me wrong. Yeah, you could keep four tight ends, but if it were me, and it's probably just nitpicking here, just keep three tight ends. I don't think four is necessary. You can keep three.
Who would you cut?
Nick Vinette.
Yeah.
100%.
Can I pose a question? A question and a statement. My statement being, I think, you know, if there was a starter that needed to have a big night or a big day going into cut day tomorrow, is Treylon Burks. And he's had some injuries, you know, some tweaks, you know, pulled a hamstring in the joint practice with Seattle, fell awkwardly and got up walking a little weird. Just to going into Chicago on a positive note, I think would be really, really important for him.
I think he's making the roster regardless.
Well, yeah, I think he's making the roster regardless. But to going into week one, coming off a good preseason game, I think is important.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing tonight, though. That's the thing.
Oh, I thought that Callahan said that.
Yeah, starters are playing three series tomorrow.
Yeah, play like
starters
three series. Three.
And they're primarily playing him at the X because obviously
this is what happens when you stop sending me to practice, Chase.
It's all right, buddy.
I lose the loop.
And then,
it's all good.
And then my question being, I know Nick Folk is the starting kicker. Uh-huh. What do you do with Braden Narveson?
I think you try and get him to the practice squad, but it's tough to do that with kickers because kickers are so hard to find.
Quarterbacks.
TD said on Wednesday, I believe, that every team is going to have that film on their mind of seeing the 59-yard field goal and the game winner back-to-back. Like, teams are going to take a chance on that if they don't like their kicker. But going back to your Treylon Burks point, Jared said something yesterday that I thought was interesting. Let's say DeAndre Hopkins is healthy for Chicago. Is Treylon Burks active? Like, or is he a healthy scratch for that game?
Active.
Oh, you're active.
Yeah.
You're plugging active. Him in. You're rotating.
So they're keeping six wide receivers active, which it happens. Like, it's not impossible, but Jared was making the point that you might want that roster spot somewhere else. And if you've got Hopkins, Ridley, and Boyd. Those are your three receivers. NWI is not going to be inactive because of what he does on special teams. And Jaquan Jackson's your punt returner.
Mm-hmm.
Treylon Burks is kind of a luxury to have on game day rather than a necessity to have on game day.
Yeah, but you also have to look out for that roster, extra roster spot as Denard Wilson and the trust that Brian Callahan has in him to actually get production out of that defense from what he's given. Because from what everybody's talked about Denard Wilson, he's been solid, like, coaching-wise. And so with that, you're going to have to – it's like a push and pull thing. You're going to basically pull extra necessities, as in roster spots, for the offense that's struggled the last couple seasons. And the Titans' defense has been pretty solid for the most part in the last couple of years. Well, you know, regards of depth and so forth and whatnot. But
I can't wait to see the defense week one rookie quarterback. Like, I think Denard Wilson's going to throw a lot at Caleb Williams.
Yes.
I hope he does. Rattle that boy's confidence.
TD said that he's calling it that all-out blitz, first play of the game against Caleb Williams.
Engage eight.
Engage eight. Just send it. Yeah. Everyone.
The Madden reference, that is.
Yeah.
Well, was it Kenny Vaccaro? I think he said that after the divisional round win against the Ravens back in 2019.
Really?
Yeah, he said that, you know, engage eight in Madden. That's basically what we did on every single play.
I mean, yeah, do that. You're right. It would absolutely fluster a rookie quarterback. You have all these bells,
especially
and
one with weapons like he has.
Yeah, and I don't think Keenan Allen's going to be as big of a weapon as people think.
No.
He's on my fantasy do not draft list, so it's for another day.
Going to be a fun matchup, though. As long as the cornerbacks are healthy, Snead, Awuzie, McCreary against Moore, Adunze, Allen, that's a three-on-three that'll be must-see TV week one. Coming up in 2 weeks, 2 weeks away from week one of the NFL season, tomorrow, final preseason game for the Titans. We'll see the starters for three-ish series is what Brian Callahan said.
Yeah, don't listen to me about that.
We'll see how they do. And then a lot of guys fighting for jobs towards the back end of the roster. Should be a fun one down in the Bayou. 615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's 945, which means it's time for Newt's Notes. After this, Force Company, 1025, 1063, the game.
His name and he appears. I believe in
Connor Newt.
Clap, clap.
I believe in
Newt's Notes.
Cause you love in London and Paris and Tokyo. America, Scotland and Canada and Mexico.
Yeah, Force Company, I won't even intro it. Connor, go.
I believe in Joe Hendry.
I'll throw your hands up in the air.
Woo!
Yeah. Okay. Let me talk to you. Although it's Joe Hendry time now. Let's let Nick Frazier gather himself really quick, as if you're watching the stream, you can just see him crying.
I mean, what is that intro? I mean, that is hilarious.
Connor Newt.
I love it.
Notes.
Newt's Notes.
Okay. So have you guys seen on TikTok the father and son, the AJ and Big Justice?
Boom.
The boom and doom?
I had to mute those off my X feed.
Okay.
I was seeing too
chocolate
much.
Chocolate cookie.
Yeah.
Do they review food or something?
They review food.
From Costco.
From Costco.
Almost exclusively.
Boom or doom.
Really? They're the guys that are like, we're Costco guys. Of course we like that chicken bake. Whatever.
Okay.
So they are the inspiration for this next segment. We are going to play college football boom or doom.
Ooh.
I have a list of 10 teams, and we're gonna decide boom or doom. We're going to go around. You're going to say boom or doom. Boom being, yeah, they're going to exceed expectations. Doom being, no, they're not.
And do we have to rate them on the boom meter?
Boom! Boom!
Yeah, you got to do the flex every time you do it.
I don't know about this.
How have you never seen this?
You've never seen this? These guys are viral. They have their own song.
Big Justice.
Big Justice.
To be fair, guys, on my YouTube, it's woodworking, Blackstone grills, and that's about
it. We might all just have brain rot. Do you know the Rizzler?
That was another one I had.
Do you know Phantom Tax?
I know the Riddler. Not the
Rizzler.
The Rizzler. Anyways.
I'm getting uncomfortable. Can we continue this boom or doom, please?
Anyways, boom or doom. So I have 10 teams. We will go around the room, and we will start with number one. Let's see if I can say it like Big Joe says it. Alabama.
Alabama.
Boom or doom. We'll start with Jake Lyman. Go ahead.
Kalen DeBoer wins everywhere he goes, and he has more talent than he's ever been. So Alabama gets a big boom.
I'm regretting this decision.
I'm going with doom. I think they do have a winning season at 8-4, but for me, I'm going to say it's a doom.
Wallman?
I'm going to say doom as well. And I think they do. I think they go 10-2.
Is that a doom, really?
I think it's a doom in the case for Alabama fans because they're so used to winning 11, 12, 13 games a year. And 10-2 will get you into the playoffs.
That's a playoff spot, yeah.
But I think that they're going to get a real taste of reality that's not Nick Saban on the sideline anymore, and that's Kalen DeBoer. And I think he's going to get a taste of reality that this isn't Washington where you can go 8-4 and still be safe. This isn't Wisconsin Whitewater at the D3 level.
Yeah.
No disrespect to those schools, but I mean, it's just, it's not. This is Alabama where you're expected to win now.
Yeah.
So, doom.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go boom. Ooh. I think Kalen, like to Jake Lyman's point, Kalen DeBoer wins everywhere he goes. I think he fits the mold of an SEC coach. I think he has the offensive weapons in Jalen Milroe. I think he takes a step up. I think that offensive line is solid. They've got a great secondary. I'm going to say boom. I think they go like 11-1. Okay. The next team, Ohio State, my former team. I am now with the Washington Huskies. I didn't tell you this, Frazier. Moved on to Washington. There are brighter things for me in the purple rain.
So you're now at Washington. Jake Lyman's
still at Oklahoma. We're having a rough year trying to defend our national championship.
Okay.
And then your pony. And then Wallman is...
I'm at Wyoming.
He's been freed of the shackles of the Warhawks.
Okay.
But Ohio State, boom or doom, we'll start with Frazier this time.
Ooh. Mr. Carl, please turn your radio dial down. This guy's a big Ohio State fan. I don't want to be negative about everybody, but I'm going to say it's going to be a boom year for them. I say 10-2 for the Buckeyes. They make it to the playoff. I don't think they win the national championship, though. I'm really high on Oregon this year in the Big Ten, so just that's my dark horse. But I'm going to go boom for Ohio State.
I will go doom. I don't know what it is. I'm not in on Ohio State this year, and I think Ryan Day maybe his last straw. I think Ryan Day may be on the way out.
I'm going to go boom.
Okay.
You know, with a new quarterback – you know, it feels like a breath of fresh air for Ohio State. Fresh of breath air. They still haven't, you know, Ryan Day's not going to find Lou Holtz. But I do think he finds the playoff. So, boom.
Interesting.
I'm going to say doom. We've split the first two.
Yeah, me and Connor.
We're on the same
Frazier
page.
And Wallman.
Yeah, we're on
is
the
there
same.
Like a doom signal
Isn't it?
I
literally only see them say boom.
This, then doom should be
most
this.
Of them are like ads too. It's like they go to restaurants and they're just like, this sandwich gets a big boom.
Oh, okay.
All right, I'm gonna
get a horns down. I like that.
Back to the point. I'm gonna go doom on Ohio State. I don't think Ryan Day can manage a roster like people think he can.
He inherited it.
Yeah. I mean, they've done great in the portal. They've attacked. They've brought in a great quarterback at Will Howard and probably the best defensive player in the nation in Caleb Downs, I would think. But I don't think he knows how to manage a roster, and I think he doesn't coach well in big games. So I'm going to say doom for the Buckeyes.
Will Howard's a nice quarterback. I'll say it that way.
He's not – well, great is not the right word.
Yeah.
He is – He's the Kirk Cousins of college football.
Yeah.
You know what you have.
Great way to put it. Yes.
You know exactly what you have. But moving on, these guys play in about an hour and a half? Florida State, boom or doom? I'll start this time. I'm going to say doom. They've lost a lot of pieces, you know, losing your quarterback and I'm blanking on his name. Wow.
Jordan Travis.
I knew it was Travis. I almost said Travis Hunter, but that's
no.
Wrong. Jordan Travis. Keon Coleman's gone. You lose Jared Verse, your star edge rusher. They've lost a lot, and they've replaced those pieces a little bit with, I still don't know how to say his name, DJ Ukulele.
Uyunglele.
Okay. You guys can
DJ
say
U.
It.
Just say well, DJU.
DJU.
There you go.
But I'm going to say doom. I don't think... if you ask me what the best team in the ACC is, I don't think it would be them.
Oh, I know which one it is for me.
Clemson.
Oh, no.
No? Louisville? No.
Let's go.
Pony. Oh, Enter Sandman, baby.
Oh, for him, yeah, but not for me, no.
Yeah, but Florida State,
Okay.
Doom.
I'm going to go doom as well for Florida State. I just think they go 8-4, 9-3, just in that realm. It's a positive year, but not. It's definitely a regression from last year.
I will go doom as well. Too many pieces that they lost. They lost their best two wide receivers, their best two pass rushers, and their quarterback. I think it'll be a step back for Florida State.
I think you really find out what Mike Norvell's made of this year.
Yes.
True.
Doom. I think I know where we're all going to go with this one. Oregon. Boom or doom?
Boom.
Boom.
Boom. Boom. Boom. I mean, no explanation needed. Notre Dame. Boom or doom? This was a tough one for me.
I like Riley Leonard, but I also, I don't know if he's going to have as much success as Sam Hartman did last year. I'm going to go slight doom. I think it'll be about expectations for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Fringe playoff team.
I go doom. And like he's saying, fringe playoff team, I'd say 9-3, 10-2 is like the ballpark where they're at.
I'm going to go boom.
Whoa.
I think this is the year Marcus Freeman figures it out. Mm. And I think you have a nice change of pace with a scrambler quarterback in Riley Leonard, as opposed to, what would we say, Sam Hartman, field general, improviser, whatever you
want. Improviser.
Improviser.
Yeah.
I love the pieces they have on offense with Jeremiah Love at running back. That defense is always going to be solid in the golden helmets of Notre Dame. Notre Dame gets a big boom from me.
I'm going to go boom as well.
Yeah.
Marcus Freeman has really rebounded since that tough first season in 2022.
Okay.
Okay. This is a PSA. Please be unbiased on this answer.
Okay.
I'm looking at you behind the glass. The Volunteers of Tennessee.
I'll go last.
Yeah. Yeah, you will.
I'm going to go boom.
Oh.
I'm going boom. I'm in on Josh Heupel.
You're in. You're in on Nico.
Yes, I am. If Nico goes down, this team goes down.
Iamaleava.
Iamaleava.
As they say in college football.
I'm all in on Tennessee this year. If they go 10-2, I mean, every team on that list for me is 10-2. That's like the baseline safe answer. But I'll go out on the limb. 11-1.
Oh, wow.
11-1, 10-2.
See, I'm in the same spot with Notre Dame or Tennessee as I was with Notre Dame. I'm going slight doom, saying that I don't think they're going to exceed the expectations that there are. I'd go 9-3 would be my guess for Tennessee, and they would need some help to get into the playoffs. That would be my prediction for Tennessee.
That's valid.
I'm stole the words out of my mouth. I'll go slight doom. I don't think 9-3 is a bad season. Especially with a new quarterback.
I would say that meets expectations.
Yes.
For Nico's first full year as the starter.
Yeah.
I would say they end the year as like number 14 or 15 in the country, which is kind of where they are right now. Like I think they are properly rated heading into the season.
Yeah. Mm. Now we get to the portion where it's the Vols are going 12-0. Go ahead.
I don't know about 12-0 because every year I set myself up and then it only leads to heartbreak. You guys will see me as a basket case. Starting next week.
We'll get you in some blue.
About 11:45 next Saturday. I'm going to go slight boom, excuse me. I think 10-2 is doable, but I could definitely see them going 9-3.
Yeah.
You know, it all hinges on
fantasy land today.
The schedule where you got Arkansas, Oklahoma, Florida, that late September, early October, where Nico has gotten some games under his belt, and you really start to see what kind of quarterback he is. I mean, you got a taste of it last season with, you know, beating Iowa in the bowl game. And so you know he's good. You know he's got the talent. But, you know, can he go on the road and play in those high upper echelon environments?
Stadium pulse.
Yeah.
Stadium pulse.
So Nick Frazier's two cold takes of the season already. Alabama goes 8-4, and Tennessee 11-1.
Right. Don't forget Kyler Murray.
Oh yeah,
Kyler Murray.
Hey, I'm still on the hill on that one.
Why don't you take your orange shaded glasses off before this next one?
Yeah, I might.
Well, you're gonna have to take your maroon shaded glasses off for this one, because where is Ole Miss on our radar? Boom or doom?
I say they are a boom, and 10-2 is their ceiling. Kind of with Tennessee, 9-3. What Jake said.
Okay.
I'll go boom for Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. I think they're a playoff team this year.
Lane Kiffin would be the coach to say boom and show up on that video.
I'm waiting for him.
He would be the one. Either him or Drinkwitz. One of those two.
Oh, God. Don't get Eli Drinkwitz near those guys.
I'm going to go boom on Ole Miss as well. I think 10-2 is about right. But they've added a lot this season. And I think Well, we'll get to this later, but Jackson Dart's going to have a good year.
I feel like this is it's not a make or break year for Lane Kiffin in a way that he, you know, if he doesn't make the playoff, he loses his job. Mm-hmm. But I feel like it's a make or break year where if he doesn't make the playoff, he's going to start feeling a lot of criticism.
Yes.
And possibly losing guys.
So, yeah, and possibly losing guys as well. But I think it's a boom. I think that they do really well. You know, they meet all the expectations that people are saying they should meet and make the playoff.
Right.
All right. Three more. We'll fly through these a little bit. USC, the Trojans.
Doom.
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 7-5.
See you, Lincoln Riley.
I think we're all on the doom train.
Come to Starkville, Lincoln Riley.
Hot seat for Lincoln Riley. We'll see you later. Mizzou.
Boom.
Doom.
Really? Boom?
I'm dooming.
Doom.
Oh, I'm big boom.
I'm dooming too.
I think Missouri is a playoff team.
See, that's the thing.
What?
Yep. As Derek Mason would say, everyone's got film on you now, though.
That's true. I think
they overachieved last year. I think they come back down to 9-3.
Defense is a question mark for them.
They do have a favorable schedule.
I am in on Missouri. I'm not saying I think they're a top five team in the country, but I think they're one of the last three at large bids to the college football playoff.
Okay.
I think they caught lightning in a bottle last year.
I do too. we'll end this one on a fun note. Colorado. On three.
One, two, three.
Doom.
Boom.
Boom. Oh.
Boom.
Wow.
Did you just say boom?
I did with a B. Boom.
Oh, wow.
I mean, boom is in, like, for them, 7-5.
Boom is in.
Yeah. A bowl game for them, I think, is a boom for them.
Yeah. And I think it's a boom for Deion Sanders and his staff because after Shador and Travis Hunter are done with this season, along with Shiloh, they're all going to the NFL along with Deion. Deion's probably going to go to Dallas, in my opinion.
Really?
I think Jerry's World is going to call him up and be like, hey, you want all three of your boys from Colorado and Dallas? We got you. Somehow,
you want a first-round exit? I mean, we got you.
Yeah, somehow, some way.
I love it. That was the double-chunk chocolate cookie of a segment there.
I need to have a double-chunk chocolate cookie.
I actually had dinner at Costco earlier this week.
The pizza is great.
I got a slice of pizza, and I got the $1.50 hot dog combo. I did not get the chicken bake or the double chunk chocolate cookie.
Hey, you know what? Costco, it's stayed $1.50 since 1989, and it'll stay that way ever since then.
We get sometimes when it's like mom doesn't want to cook or whatever, we get the full size, or like two of them. They're massive.
Yeah.
They're like 15 a piece.
Not too shabby.
Not too bad.
They have like a taco tray as well at Costco that's really good.
I love Costco.
Hey.
I have fond memories of going to Costco after church.
Hey, Chase McCabe, no free shout-outs. He'd be letting us know here. No free shout-outs to Costco.
Yeah. Oh, no free shout-outs.
But we're Costco guys. We're Costco guys. Thank you, Connor. That was our Costco guys predictions for the college football season. Great Newt's Notes, as always. That wraps up hour number one here on the program. And we're going to spend the entire second hour on college football, starting with our question of the day when we come back. If your team is out of it, who is your next college football team? Who is that second team that you root for when your number one team maybe isn't having a good season or doesn't end up in that college football playoff conversation? We want to hear from you, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. Hour number one done. Hour number two up next. You're on Forbes Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.